Abraham, he said, will I not let my servant Abraham know what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot lived? You know? Will I not let Abraham know? So he let Abraham know that he's going to burn up Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the angel came and said, if there's like, you know, I don't know how he started out. 50 people who's righteous, would you spare it? 10 people who's righteous, 5 people righteous, would you spare it? Remember that time? But God allowed Abraham to know what's going to happen. So for this case, you know, Jesus just reinstated him back. But Peter was blessed to know how he was going to die. I'm not sure if you receive from the Lord how things are going to happen in the future. I think I might have had few inclination at times when something might have happened, you know, and then it actually happened. So it's really a big blessing for God to reveal to you how it's going to happen in the future. I think that probably requires being really reinstated with God. Yeah, actually, I'll just share this. It's kind of like an elephant in the room kind of thing. I knew from the past of my dad's church, denominational, you know, he was the head of the denomination for a long time. And whenever the church is built, many churches, they rebuild their church and they do fundraising and things like that. And what mostly happens when the fundraising happens and the church is being built, normally churches break up. Most of the case, churches break up. And why are the churches breaking up? It's because of the fundraising. People feel the pressure of needing to donate. There's this elder donating this much and that person donating that much, but there's people who may not be abundantly, rich. And so some people, they feel the pressure and they don't want to endure the shame, or they just are objected to church building and they just kind of leave. And so it's common that churches break up, people leave. So I was thinking to myself, I think that's not going to happen for us. So, you know, sure enough, I don't think that was any major reason. But somehow, something like that is happening and has happened. And so that's kind of sad, but I kind of sensed it before. I sensed it before. It's not quite Jesus saying, this is what's going to happen, but I sensed it before. In different ways, but in spite of the cross, don't mind the suffering. Don't mind how your life will end being a martyr. You just follow me. You just follow me. Until that happens, you just follow me. So, this calling also reminisces Luke 9:23. What does that say? Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. Take up the cross daily and follow me. So here's a follow me. So it's a supplement to Matthew 4:19. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. So his following is a calling to follow him unto saving souls. In order to accomplish this, he gives us another command. It says, if anyone would come after me, and this is a choice. We always make a choice if I choose to follow Jesus or not. He must deny himself, for one. Take up the cross that God gives him. And so for Peter, this was the cross. Peter had his own cross, and Jesus revealed this to him. He's going to be martyred. Continue to deny yourself from your desire to gratify yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. All the way to the end, all the way while being fishers of men. So this is the first point. I'm done with the first point. You only got one more point left. Now the second one, first one, it just said, follow me, right? But the second point starts with, you follow me. Him just saying, you follow me, is already saying, don't worry about other people. Don't worry about what others do. What is it to you? What is it to you if John don't die like you? He lives on until I come. What is that to you? You follow me. So the second point is, just focus on you following me. You follow me. And don't mind others. Don't mind how others follow you. You follow me. Or don't mind even how others suffer, how others end their life. You're going to be a martyr, but John, he may or may not be a martyr. He might even stay until Jesus comes back. You know, when Jesus, you know what that means? He never dies. Wait, why is it that he never dies? What happens if you're alive and Jesus arrives? You're raptured. You don't die. You just kind of meet the Lord in the air. So if you live until Jesus come, that means you're not dying. You know, the dead will rise first, but then the living will be lifted up. You don't die. You just kind of, boom, get a new body and lift it up. So that's why they were thinking like, oh, John will never die. Because he's going to stay until the rapture. Jesus is saying, what is it to you? The point is, what is it to you about John? You just focus on following me. Following me to be fishers of men. Following me, denying yourself, carrying your cross, and daily in following Jesus. So, there's a kind of a point of don't let, you know, any other people or other things hinder me from continuing to follow Jesus in this first calling. Jesus is reinstating Peter to the very first calling, general calling, beside the feed my sheep, the general calling. Go, you know, come follow me and make he will make you fishers of men. So from this, you know, don't mind John. Don't worry about John. I have a John MacArthur's Bible because I trust him in his exposition, right? He's way beyond my ability to exposit the word. And so I trust that, and I'm sure you trust that. Pastor John, was it? I'm just thinking John Greer. John MacArthur, right, John MacArthur. So, but anyway, his thought was, maybe he said this because he also says perhaps, so he's not very sure, but he said perhaps he said this because he was fond of John. They hung out together 24/7 for 3 years, and he was kind of the youngest, and so everybody likes the youngest, you know, they're kind of cute, you know, and had fond affection, intimate relationship of knowing John. That's what Pastor John MacArthur says. So he could have had a very fond affection for John, and so he was concerned about how John would end his life, how John would suffer and end his life. That could be a very positive, you know, taking concern about, you know, your fellow brother and, you know, intimate friend. But even if it was that, Jesus is saying, don't be sentimentally hooked. Sometimes sentimentalism could hinder you from you following Jesus. So the other passage, the reminiscing passage of you following me, leads us to Luke 9, actually. Luke 9, 57 through 62. Luke 9, 57 through 62, let's look at that. I'm glad that we don't have a slide, so we can just kind of look into the Bible. And that's the time when Jesus recruits the 72 disciples, or 70 disciples in different versions. He's recruiting 70 disciples to send out two by two to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And so this is his dialogue with some people who Jesus said, come follow me. I'm going to make you, he's actually training the disciples to make them fishers of men. I'm really excited nowadays. I'm training my mid-younger disciples, like Bing Chin, Kevin, and Bozzy. I am going through bridge training with them. It's like part one, part two, part two and a half, part three, part four, part five. And Kevin is a part two. We need to go part two and a half. Bozzy went to part two and a half. And Bing Chin, I think we went all the way to part four, opening the heart. Sure enough, he ended there. He shared the bridge for the first time this week. Oh, let's give him a round of... And the person he met was a Jewish guy. And we said, we love the Jews, you know. Jesus was a Jew, you know. And so he looked like a freshman. We didn't ask him because, I don't know. He looked very young. And so he was saying, okay, I have 10 minutes until class. Do what you can. So we'll just do it. And if you think it's time, just you could just leave. And so Big Chin started, did it very clearly, just like he was trained, you know, and he went to part one, finished. Part two, he finished. Part two and a half, he finished. Part three, the main big part, past 10 minutes, the guy still stayed. Part four, it must have been about almost like 20, 25 minutes. He stayed, I think it was about 30 minutes. He finished up to like, Jesus is outside knocking at the door. Do you want to accept? So he said, okay, well, I'll think about it. And so, but I said, do you understand this? Yes, he said, understand it very clearly. So he did a very good job. Well, Jesus was training his disciple in chapter 10 to go two by two to preach the gospel of the kingdom. But in order to do that, he needed to, who's a volunteer? Who's going to follow me? And so here, when Jesus said, you follow me, it's the same situation, same kind of a tone right here. As they were going along the road in verse 57, some said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. This answer is already responding to follow me. This person said, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus' response was, the foxes have holes and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus, wherever he goes, is not going to be comfortable. It's not a comfortable life. If you want a comfortable life, then, you know, that's not following Jesus. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have their nests, but Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So Jesus is saying to this disciple, you say you're going to follow me wherever I go, but remember, it's not going to be comfortable. So if it's not going to be comfortable, are you going to still follow? But the command is, you follow me, don't mind the discomfort. Don't mind the discomfort. Second one is, and he said to another, see here Jesus is saying, follow me. He said to the second person, follow me. Obviously, he said that to the first person too. He said, follow me. And the second person responded, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. And he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. So the second person, when Jesus said, follow me, said, Lord, let me go home and take care of my father until he dies. That's what it means when it said, permit me first to go bury my father. Bury my father means let me take care of them. Let me take care of my dad until he dies. Well, that's a family responsibility. It's a duty. Maybe even for Jewish culture, it's more close to Asian. Take care of your parents until they die. What was Jesus' response to that? Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom. So here it is that Jesus' follow me is to go proclaim the kingdom of God. Proclaim the kingdom of God. But then he says to this person who said, let me take care of my father until he dies. He's saying, those people who are dead, I mean, spiritually not a follower of Jesus, if they could do the job, let them do that. You who know the gospel, you who have been saved, the gospel is, there's so much urgency of proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. There is an urgency. You know, if there's somebody else who could do the job of taking care of your dad, something more important than that is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom so souls can be saved for eternity. It seems kind of like perhaps Jesus is not so, you know, sensitive to family needs. You know, hey, what about me taking care of my parents? Yeah, that's good. I mean, I took care of my parents. But I can't just focus on taking care of my parents. I need to preach the gospel, go overseas, whatever I need to do. But if taking care of your father hinders you from following me, don't let others hinder you from you following me. If Jesus' calling is you follow me. Why? Because proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Yeah, it sounds kind of insensitive to family needs. But the gospel of the kingdom is, there's an urgency. Third guy, I'm saying third guy because I think the 72 were all men. It was not women included. It's usually when there's a service related, it's a public for service related men. But Alyssa, you're included. You know, Jesus is calling you two as well. We could have 2x2 girls too. Yeah. We're actually, after all, we're kind of modern times, right? Not only men, but for women. But this is a principle, so it's not only limited to men. Third person, he said, another said to him, I will follow you. So Jesus said, follow me, you people. And there's some people responded, and third person said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. This is what is the most strongest sentiment fond affectional sentiment is your family. When you're about to leave somewhere, you know, you're going to miss your family. And so Jesus is saying, I mean, here this guy is saying, I love my family. I love people at home. Juan, I know you love more than a family. This guy loves everyone. Very strong, fond affection brother here, and we love you for that. But sometimes fond affection can hinder us from following Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying here. First, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said, no one after putting his hand on the plow and looking back, it is worthy for the service of the kingdom. In my version, it says fit for the kingdom of God, but NIV, I believe, is fit for the service of the kingdom. Just by what Jesus said is, no one after putting your hand on the plow and turning back is worthy of serving for the kingdom of God. Wow, I have 20 minutes. I'm almost done. It's amazing. See, no PowerPoint, and I could go faster. Or my points are limited. So no one, after putting his hand on the plow, turning back, is fit for the kingdom of God, or fit for the service of the kingdom. Jesus said this because this was the issue for this man. He had such fond affection for the family. And he wanted, before I go with you, Jesus, which is kind of like totally being, you know, involved in the Lord's work of soul saving. In chapter 10. So let me go say goodbye. But Jesus knew if he went back home, he would not come back. He followed Jesus until this time. He put his hand on the plow and saying, Jesus, I'm ready to follow you and I'm ready to serve in the kingdom. But because he wanted to, he misses his family. And so he wanted to take his hand off and go say goodbye. But Jesus knew if he did that, he wouldn't come back. People who would put their hand on following Jesus and serving Jesus and take that hand off is not fit for the service of the kingdom because they will turn back. And what caused this turn back is a fond affection and, you know, sentiment. I don't want to say it in a negative way. A human sentiment, which could be good. Family fond affection, human sentiment, cannot be called something negative. But even these, if it hinders us from you following Jesus, then Jesus is saying you're not fit for the service of the kingdom. So that's the second point. Second point is, you follow me and don't mind others. Don't mind other people or other things. Anything that could hinder us from me following Jesus, Jesus is saying, what is it to you? What is it to you? What happens to that person? What is it to you how that person serves and how he dies? What is it to you, you know, other things? You know, I mean, there's a lot of applications here because sometimes when we serve the Lord, we have to sacrifice, deny some things. That means we have to sacrifice some, you know, earthly things. We might not be able to acquire as much as those people who do not serve the Lord. So as you're serving the Lord and say, hey, why are these people getting rich and getting promotion why, and I'm not getting much. I don't know about this serving Jesus thing here. It's like everybody's getting ahead, but I'm not getting ahead. I remember I told you, I think I shared this. For those of you who's been around should know this illustration. I visited my friend who loves Jesus and who's serving Jesus. He has like people over his house two or three times a week having Bible study and big fellowships. He has a beautiful wife, beautiful two children who one child went to seminary and he's a PhD now. Great family. But he was an engineer all his life. Now his children grew up, so he became a pastor. But when he was just as an engineer, you know, serving the Lord, and he was really enjoying it with his wife, and that's totally fine. I visited their house once, and I looked at him, just watched him just having a great ministry life at home. Goes to work as an engineer and then comes home, and he has two or three times a week he has like fellowships going on, and he loves praise. He's a guy who came to my my birthday celebration, and after that great time of fellowship catching up, I was leaving home and I said, wait a minute, where is my home? They had a beautiful house and said, where is my home? I don't have a home. Well, that's before my dad gave me the house. I didn't have a home. Wait a minute. Where's my wife? I don't have a wife. I don't have beautiful children. I said, oh, what happened? Oh, that kind of briefly made me jealous. Briefly, guys. I don't know, maybe millisecond. But I thought of it and said, oh, where's my wife? Then immediately thought came, I gave it for the gospel. The money I could have earned to buy a house, I gave it to the gospel. The wife I could have had, well, I could have had. Guys, I was pretty well-liked. You know, I did not get married because I didn't have many chances, but the people who liked me, it wasn't the same. A few I did like wasn't the same. So, but I got here where I am, but the wife I didn't have, the children I didn't have time to raise, I gave the time for the gospel. And so, why am I saying this? What was my point? Oh, yeah, sometimes when you serve the Lord, you feel like you're sacrificing, but then you're not getting much what other people are getting. And that could be something that could hinder us from me following Jesus. So don't mind other people. As they serve God and they say make money, they'll have more and they have better things. That's totally fine, because we're not about that. We're about eternal things. So whatever goes on with other people's lives, Jesus is saying, what is it to you? What is it to you? You follow me. Anything that could hinder us from following Jesus, Jesus is going to say, what is it to you? Just you focus on you following me for the service of the kingdom. Anyway, I'm done. So the last of the way that Jesus loved Peter was he reinstated, he recalled him back to return to the first call. Come follow me, Jesus said. I will make you fishers of men. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word, even through the final administration of your love to all the disciples, but especially for Peter. You are you have called Peter after him failing you three times to restore his relationship with you and recall him to the first calling of come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And you instructed him, don't mind the cross that you will have to bear. Don't mind the others who may have a different plan, or God, you have a different plan. But Lord, your calling is for us individually, for us to follow you. And so would you, Lord, help us to ponder how we may just focus on following you. Your first command, to come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. As much as we want to just enjoy the following without much cross or much loss, sacrifice. But Lord, you call us to follow you, to carry the cross, and even to, in spite of how others live their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.